Welcome to the Smichael Speaks podcast channel. I'm Joanne Smichael, and I'm delighted that you tuned in for relevant leadership learning that will help you continue to soar. Enjoy this episode. Dr. Olga Campora is back with us. Olga owns a yoga studio here in Ellicott City, Maryland, and she offers therapeutic yoga to high-achieving people who suffer from back pain and stress. But she also is a phenomenal life coach. She works with men and women who are really committed, seriously committed, to improving themselves on the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual levels. She helps people come to the most loving version of themselves. Welcome back, Olga.
Thank you so much, Joanne. Pleasure.
Now, last time you were here, you gave an overview of how you approach the coaching process. You shared some insights on who's ready for coaching and who's not. You also spent a little time on I am statements. Will you go deeper into I am statements, what they mean, and how we can use them?
Yes, absolutely. I would just start with this, that I am are the two most important words in your life. And it is very important to ask yourself a question regarding who you are. And that is, number one is, who do you think you are? Because two things might happen when we ask this question. We go to our prefrontal cortex brain, and we will make rational decisions of telling people who we are, in a sense, who we would like to be, okay? Mm-hmm. But that's not what we are talking about here, who do you think you are. It's rather looking for the truth now, who you are actually being right now, in this very moment, currently. Mm-hmm. Number two is, who do you fear you are? Who do you worry that you are? It can sound heavy, Joanne, but I promise you that as you will be gentle with these and look into the real truth about yourself, you will be able to create a version of yourself that is absolutely magnificent. Hmm. And number three is, who do you think you should be? Okay. This one is about a false perfection. Because any times when we are shooting ourselves, we are making ourselves wrong. So many times, you know, people are asking a wrong question, like, who do I need to be in order to be accepted and loved? Like, you know, the acceptance and love is just dependable on somehow somebody else, you know, telling us, oh, you are finally accepted, or you are finally just, I can love you because you are doing this and that, right? So that is really just kind of, you know, really important, because a lot of us, we go to that question, who do I think I should be, okay? Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I want to say this. You were just talking about conditional love. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I know you work on in your practice is unconditional love. So at some point, we have to be able to talk about that, if not today, in a future time together, because I love that you focus on that.
Yeah, that's great fun. Yeah.
So today, I do want to talk a little bit about your emphasis on thought creation. There's something I learned from you, and that is that thoughts are stored, like I've got thoughts already here because, you know, I'm more than 10 years old. So I got thoughts in my head and they're based on my experiences. But what I've learned from you is that thoughts can be recreated. It's almost like reprogramming. So I want to talk about that. How does a person recreate their thoughts because they are so deeply embedded? Are you okay with talking about that?
Yes, absolutely. We want to think about our thoughts as simply sentences in our mind. That's what thoughts are. They are just simply sentences in our mind. And we have about you know, in average about 70,000 thoughts mm-hmm. per day, plus, minus, you know, 10,000, it depends. And what is really interesting is that since our childhood, we have been taught directly or indirectly how to act or react mm-hmm. under certain circumstances of our lives. And we have mentioned it in our first just kind of, you know, conversation together. What happens is that we develop specific beliefs and they create a thought pattern in our heads. And when it becomes really tricky is to realize that thoughts that we have create our feelings. Mm-hmm. Every single thought we have creates a certain feeling within our body. And so when we think about something, it makes us feel certain way. And why I'm, you know, exploring this about the creation, you know, of, you know, thoughts is that we need to recognize that if we know that our thoughts create our feelings, what happens is that the way we feel then really defines how we show up in the world, mm-hmm. what we do or what we do not do, okay? We can push things, we can push feelings away, we can ignore them and do all different kind of things, but we need to understand that the feeling that I have within myself is going to show up in my A line, in my action line. And what you do or don't do creates actually a real result, you know, who you are being in the world. And what's really interesting is that the result that we create is directly connected to the thought that we have, not the circumstance that we are having in our lives. Because people say, well, it all happened because my house was burned out, mm-hmm. okay? It's not that your house was burned out. It's just like what you are thinking mm-hmm. about the fact, you yeah, know, that happened, out. You know? Mm-hmm. And I think that's a huge distinction, just kind of, you know, in a thought creation, because people say, well, that was like, it is truth, Olga, you know, that this is a terrible thing, okay? Well, okay, you can think about things that it's terrible, but look what it does if you keep thinking about it, okay? How do you feel, mm-hmm. you know, when you think that thought? And what are you then creating for yourself, okay? So it's just, thought creation is just recognizing that you have absolute freedom how you choose to think about anything around you, about the circumstances of your lives, around the people around you, and about yourself. And that is very, very powerful because a lot of people think that really, you know, this is what happened. Mm-hmm. And this is why just kind of my life is this way. Mm-hmm. Your result is not connected to the circumstances of your life, but directly to the thought that you have about the circumstance. Does it make sense?
Yes, it makes a lot of sense. I have a friend who came through just some awful things in her childhood. And it floored me when she said to me, those things should not have happened to me, but they made me a better parent and they make me a better person. And they have given me tremendous empathy for other people. So she has chosen to create different thoughts about a horrible horrible situation.
Yes. And the way, this is beautiful. I mean, your friend and the work, you know, she has done, you know, and herself is absolutely exceptional, because what I'm hearing is that your friend, she took a complete 100% responsibility for the way she feels, because she understands that it does come, you know, from the way what she's thinking, you know, mm-hmm. about whatever horrible thing happened, okay? Because we cannot argue with the reality. Whenever we right. do that, we just lose, okay? And we can then realize, you know, yes, these things happen in my life, but I have complete choice how I choose to think about it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And therefore, what I am then capable to create in my life.
I got that. You know, this thought creation and recreation that we're exploring now leads me to something else that you focus on. And that's choice. that we have choice in what we see in ourselves and we have choice in what we see in others. One of the things that I've learned through you, and it's something I'm really grateful for. I don't know if I've ever said that, but I am very grateful for this. There's so much power in seeing the best in others, especially a partner or a mate. That's something I've learned from you. You've taught me that what I see in him is what I constantly recreate. And if I choose to see the best, the kindness, the compassion, the humor, that is what I create, and that my behavior is based on what I'm seeing, choosing to see. So can we talk a little bit more about that now? Because that has helped me.
Yes, I think there is this quote, and I really don't know who just kind of, you know, wrote this quote, but it says, what we see in others is a reflection of ourselves. Just really think about it. Mm. What I see in my spouse is a reflection of myself. So here is something just, you know, to share about it. And that is that our perception of others is influenced, you know, by our own beliefs, by our values, and the experiences that we have in our lives. So in other words, the qualities and characteristics we recognize in others are very often a reflection of our own thoughts and our own feelings. And it really implies that our understanding of others is limited by our self-awareness and personal perspective. And thus, you can only see in others what you see in yourself. And I know that many times people would say, oh, I just, you know, love this and that about you. And I always tell people, you know, I am only the reflection of you, because what you see in myself is the reflection of who you are. You know, so with every single thought that we have, we create something, and we talk about it earlier on, right? If I think I won't be able to speak publicly, or I won't be able to lose weight, we are creating this thought into reality. Mm-hmm. Why? It's because the way we think is going to just kind of set us into the action of who we are and how we are showing up in the world, okay? So the most important thing is that we have all this capability to choose, and many times people just don't recognize that we have a capability to choose how we want to think about the spouse, about my family, about my parents, or, you know, about my mother-in-law, whatever it is. You have a choice, and people don't recognize that. It goes back again to that earlier conversation that we have. People say, well, I just have a client, you know, and she told me, but my mother-in-law, she is an evil, you know? And I just told her, and I would just tell, you know, is it really true that she's evil? And she says, yeah, everybody agrees with that, you know? And I just said, is it possible that there is one person in the entire world that doesn't think that your mother-in-law is an evil? So she's thinking. And she says, I guess there probably are people who don't think that. Mm-hmm. And so I just, as a possibility, you know, I just told her, can you see that it is not, you know, something as a truth, but it is your story that mm-hmm. you have created yes. around this person? And what is really important then about it, like, what does it create in your life? When you want to keep thinking this thought, when you want to believe in this thought, in that thought, is it helpful? Does it make you happy? Does it help you to actually be a creator of something more powerful within your family? Or does it keep you actually more separated, even from your spouse?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because it's your mother-in-law and she's connected to your spouse, right? So it's always, you know, recognize that, you know, is it really true?
Mm-hmm.
Is there maybe somebody else who might be thinking something else?
Right. You know, that's another interesting point. In my work with clients, leaders in organizations, when they tell me, oh, this vice president is horrible, and everybody thinks this vice president is horrible, or this director is awful, I do ask people, can we rethink that? Is there any value that they bring to the company, to other people? And it makes me kind of chuckle inside because I sometimes think somebody's saying you're pretty horrible too. So let's start thinking differently about how we think about people. And this is something else that you've taught me, that we have to approach relationships with unconditional love, whether it's a family relationship, a business relationship, you know, a relationship with somebody in your church or sorority, that we have to approach it with unconditional love. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that a lot. You know, there's something else that I've learned from you, and this one has been hard. And that's that the past is complete. One of the questions you asked me is, what can you, Joanne, intentionally create now because the past is complete? So I guess my question is, how do we reconcile the joys and the sorrows that have happened, that are real, and I guess this goes back to what we were talking about with my friend, with creating in the now? What role does the past play, and how do we know when it's time to move the past out of the way?
Oh, that's such a beautiful and a really important question. You know, many of us have passed that are full of pain and negative circumstances.
Yep.
We feel that we have had many failures or have been through really, really challenging experiences. When we define ourselves and our future abilities by these past, you know, attempts, we just become very, very discouraged and filled with regret. And that's just kind of, you know, what is really important to bring to our awareness. We cannot change things of the past. We cannot change painful experiences that we have had in our life. It's a circumstance. It's the fact of our life.
Mm-hmm.
However, there is one thing that we can change, and it's in our full 100 power, and that is the way we choose to think about the past. Because the truth is, we cannot go back, John, right? The past is over. And for some of us, this is a blessing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
The good news, however, is that the future is for yours for the taking. So many times, if you ask a past-focused person what their plans are for, you know, the future, they have no idea where they are going. They are being defined by who they used to be, without taking any control of who they want to be or could be. While it is really important to learn from, you know, our past and grow from the mistakes we, you know, have made, you and me and everyone else, it's never, ever a good idea to define ourselves by what we haven't accomplished yet.
Mm-hmm. You know, that reminds me of our earlier conversation where you talked about self-forgiveness. And sometimes it's hard to forgive the mistakes that we've made in the past because they may have hurt other people. They may be detrimental to us right now. I had a conversation with a young person recently, and she says, well, I'm just ashamed. And I said, you have to get past the shame, because what you've done is done, and you're not the first person who did it, and you won't be the last. You won't be the last person. But I think it's hard. I think it's really hard to let go.
Absolutely. You know, and I think also it just takes time. Mm-hmm. It's a process. But it's just, you know, one of the most important actually work that you can do in your life. Because, and I would even say something that it's just very radical here, Joanne. Mm-hmm. And that is, no matter what the past was like, if you, and this is really radical, if you can accept the idea that it was just the perfect thing that has happened in your life. And do you know why? Because you cannot change it. If you think about it and keep thinking about it as something, as a something horrible, you will not move on. Mm-hmm. When you realize, not meaning perfect, that it was the best thing that happened, not in that sense, you know. But, you know, it was the best thing that happened to me on the journey of my life. Because if you look at people who really took a full responsibility, just like your friend you talked about a little bit earlier on, and what she created in her life, regardless just kind of what she went through in her life, what is really just kind of, you know, incredible is people who overcome alcoholism, people who overcome abuse, people who overcome some tremendous traumas in their lives, they become the giant mentors and giant examples what is really possible to create in a life, regardless, you know, how the past could be so difficult. You have a lot of people who might have been alcoholics, and they become the best just, you know, in the field that they work on, because they have overcome something and they knew what kind of, you know, skeleton they had in a closet, what it took to create a commitment not to just kind of take another drink at all in their lives. And they taught them something so deeply on so many layers of their being that they are a shining example for people, to lift people up, to bring people up, you know. So that's why I kind of, you know, said something that I said, that it would be radical to think all what happened in my life, it's really the best thing that happened to me, because it made me who I am today.
That is radical. But it's a good lead into probably the last thing I want to talk about today is, you put a lot of emphasis on being. And I think that that was what you were talking about. You put more emphasis on being than you do on, you know, thinking and feeling, but on actually being and discovering what I'm being. Can you help us create, or can you help us connect this idea of creating with actually being the woman that I want to be, or the person that someone wants to be? What's that marriage there?
Yes. So I'll go back to something that when you ask me how to define what being is, it's just, let's just kind of review that one thought, and that is that our being is the seed of doing, and doing, our doing is the seed, or I'm sorry, let's go backwards again. Our being is the seed of doing, and doing is the fruit of our being. And this is not my thought. Like I said, this is from a really great coach, Steve Hardison. But I really love just kind of that concept, because it talks about something that is really important. And that is that being is a practical thing. It's a simple thing. It's a practical thing. It's just, it can be, you know, any other way around. And why, you know, I'm thinking this way is that who I am being right now is showing up in what I am really doing and how I am doing it. Because the most important of, you know, being is being my word, being my commitment, being my integrity. Those are three areas that I am just focusing on, because doing, you know, Joanne, what you say you will do, being your word imparts power.
I like that. I like the idea that you weren't talking about having integrity, but being integrity.
Yes.
Not having commitment, but being committed. I like that.
Yes. Can you see the difference? Just saying, oh, yeah. I have integrity. I am a being integrity. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There is just such a difference in just the power that it has.
Yep. Right? I do see that. I do see that. So part of the work that you ask people to do is really focusing on, who are you being today? Who mm-hmm. are you being in this moment?
Yeah.
Because there is choice.
Right.
There's choice in who you're being. I appreciate you really coming to talk to us about this whole notion of creating and being and the I am of who I am. But there's something else that you work on that has been pivotal in my life, and that is your work on love, on unconditional love for self and for other people. I'd love it if you would come back to have a conversation about that. Are you open to that?
Oh, absolutely. That's a beautiful topic. Very important.
It's very, very important. It's very important to bringing peace inside. Well, it has been for me. You know, you bring such positive, powerful energy to the world. And that's part of the reason that you're a guest here, because I wanted the thousands of listeners to hear this. But if they want to connect with you to discuss how you can help them on their journey, how do they find you?
Absolutely. So they can find me at my website, www.olgacampora.com, or they can call, you know, our office at 443-636-1243. You can send us a text or you can call directly, and we will be, you know, happy to make an appointment either in person or via Zoom. And you can just explore, you know, what it is like to get on a coaching journey. If it's something that you think that it's good for you or simply no, but it's really wonderful to have that opportunity, and we are happy to just give it to you. Thank you.
It's such a valuable journey into self and self-discovery. So I encourage, if you're listening and you're thinking, maybe, pick up the phone.
Right. It's definitely not for faint of heart.
No, it is not for wimps. I can say that.
Because you do have to have some courage to, you know, really rediscover who you really are.
Yes. Well, thank you, Olga. And I'm looking forward to our conversation on love.
Thank you. Thank you, John.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. I hope you got tools that you'll actually use and share. Subscribe if you haven't already. I add new and relevant leadership learning all of the time. If you haven't visited the Smichel Speaks YouTube channel, check it out. There's all sorts of new content. All of this is virtual leadership learning that will help you soar.